leads to faith function. The three basic principles, again, involving the faith rest technique is faith perception, with all of the various rationales that we've taken up. Now we're ready to go into faith function, and the last will be faith execution. Thank you. Last night, y'all looked at me like I had given you some new twist in the study. So the faith functions of the faith rest drill, each of them now are going to be further developments of the other, and we're going to see how that all works out. Point one, the function of faith perception is in the metabolization of doctrine. Faith perception is an advance function of the faith rest drill. Faith perception is a part of the faith rest drill. Subpoint A, the function of faith perception is never effective unless the believer assigns number one priority to Bible doctrine. The Word of God being communicated by your right pastor teacher must have first place in your scale of values if you're ever going to grow up spiritually. That's the whole point. And that is something that I have tried to drive home into the minds of the attendants of Westside Bible Church from my arrival here 27 years ago. Doctrine must be number one. If it is not, then you are not going to grow spiritually. And it won't even be a partial growth. It's going to be a distorted growth because it'll be subjective and it'll always be subjected to your number one priority. I've known people in the past that made their children their number one priority, their family their number one priority, their jobs their number one priority, and they all failed. And I don't want to have to use any of you as illustrations of that failure. Well, there goes another one into the drink of failure. Why? Because I don't like that. I don't like to use you as illustrations. I'd rather use someone else in another church somewhere who's failing because they haven't ever used doctrine as a number one. It's obvious that if you say you love God, you've got to know something about Him. It is inconceivable for the believer to say they love God and not love His Word. And for most believers, ironically, God is a number one priority, but His Word is not. Something's wrong. You cannot say you love God and not have doctrine as your number one priority. Why? Because that's the most important thing to God with regard to us. And therefore, it should be the most important thing to us with regard to God. How can you know about Him without the Word? You can't. How can you know about the Christian life and His plan for your life without knowledge of the Word of God, without cognition, metabolization, and utilization of doctrinal principles? So they must be number one in your scale of values. And therefore, I must repeat again, if you have not assigned doctrine as your number one priority, you are not going to ever grow up spiritually. You'll always remain a spiritual infant. And the only thing you'll try to go on is your gnosis doctrine, which is simply knowledge doctrine, and your self-righteousness, legalism, or whatever it is has taken the place of the clear-cut teachings of the Word of God. And that's what a lot of believers do. They set a standard of values based on other than the Word of God, and they try to live according to those values. And I suppose, in a sense, there's nothing wrong with that, but then they get to the point where they move into grave error and in sin, because they begin to judge their fellow man, fellow believers, on the basis of their own misguided standards or values. Can't do that. Now, it is true that you can come to a reasonable conclusion with regard to someone who is wrong by virtue of doctrine being number one, because your scale of value then is doctrine, and you see someone who is in violation of that, at least you can reach a logical conclusion, not based on an erroneous scale of values, but on a truthful scale of value that the individual, in fact, is not correct in whatever it is they're saying or doing. Now, what you do with that is obviously important as well. If you're not in the place of authority, you can't go to that person and start reading them out. See, some of you still don't realize the authority that a pastor teacher has in a local assembly. He is the final and ultimate authority in this church. And I'm going to use it as often as I can, if nothing else, to keep order. You see, you cannot learn when there is disorder. Now, I've been in classroom situations where I demand absolute attention, and my children learned. And yet I knew of another situation. As a matter of fact, it was the teacher that preceded me. Those kids learned nothing in the entire semester that she taught. And the principal was the first one to make note of it. He says that the place was a madhouse. He says, I walked into the classroom one day, and half of the kids were lying on the ground. Others of them were actually crawling inside of the cloak closets where they put their clothes, and they're supposed to put their books up on top that they're not going to be using, and lunch boxes and things like that. And they were actually crawling up in there like roaches. And so he says, what is this? And she said, I'm giving them some free time. Well, you see, his class happened to be immediately under that classroom. And so he heard all the thumping and bumping going on up there, and he had to come up to find out what on earth was going on. And occasionally he would visit me, and he'd walk into the class, and I could see this delightful look on his face as he'd look around the room, and all the kids were just sitting there almost at attention doing their work. It's the difference between demands. It has to do with places of authority and orientation to authority. Well, I say that because there are those that have the authority to go to someone when they have seen something in them that is incorrect, especially if it is affecting the well-being of others in that assembly, and say something about it. And I have over the years. I first give them warning discipline from the pulpit. And then eventually I have to take matters based on the authority given to me and go to that person and simply tell them, you're out of here. And that's because it's not because I'm mean. It's because I'm protecting the well-being of the entire family. And occasionally you have to do that. It's like the rotten apple or the rotten potato. If you've ever had a rotten potato in a sack of potatoes, it isn't long before it actually destroys all the good ones. And there's nothing that smells worse than a rotten potato. I suppose that's where the little saying came from, a bad apple ruins the whole bunch. Is that the idea? Or the whole bushel? Or the whole peck? Never even knew what a peck was until I met my wife. She was telling me something about a peck one day. And I always thought it meant what chickens do And then we'd been married, I would venture to say, about 20 years before she dropped this dollop on me. And I said, no, not literally. It's just she said, I'll take a dollop of whipped cream. And I said, I beg your pardon. She says, well, what do you call it? And I said, either a spoonful or flop it on there or something. A dollop. I understand that is a legitimate word in the English language. It is not necessarily Middle West. But being from the East, I got a hilarious display of laughter. What didn't last too long because I didn't have the energy. When I heard Judge Ito requesting the lawyer representing O.J. Simpson to speak more clearly or to slow down because both the court reporter and the jurors could not understand him because of his Brooklyn accent. I didn't have any problem with it at all. I thought he was doing a great job. It's Miss Mazzola. And, of course, he was questioned about his pronunciation of her last name. Well, unfortunately, in New York, anything that ends in A ends up being E-R, and anything that ends with E-R ends up being A. You see, in the church, I was Pastor Miller. And yet one of my deacons would get up and say, open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. And so I made an issue of that one day, and he got offended. Really got offended. He says, that's the way I've talked all my life. And I said, well, I used to talk that way too. But I went west, taking the advice of Greeley, and I learned how to speak the English language. How ironic. See, some of you are spoiled because you'd get back east, you couldn't understand a word those people are saying. I told you I speak at least 5 different languages. Point B, faith perception begins by emphasizing 2 power options. The first power option is the filling of the Holy Spirit plus human IQ. The filling of the Spirit parlays human IQ into spiritual IQ plus Operation Z. Now, since we just took that up last night, it should be fresh in your mind, but some of you aren't here. If you'll leave this part out, this is the erroneous part of Z. The communicator, the pastor teacher, communicates doctrine to your human spirit by means of the filling of the spirit. Let's see if we can fit it all in now. Your human IQ is converted to spiritual IQ and becomes a part of your human spirit. From there, it is cycled into the left lobe, where it becomes gnosis, knowledge. This is the non-experiential part of the learning process. You do that often when you're sitting in class. If this is new to you, you're doing it right now. You're taking it in. You cannot experience it because you're sitting there in a non-experiential situation. This is strictly a learning process. From there, again, by means of the filling of the Spirit, it is converted from gnosis to epinosis through reverse concentration. This part was concentration. This part is reverse concentration. What I'm trying to do is give you all the aspects that I've taught you thus far as I put them all together now. So human IQ plus the filling of the Spirit equals spiritual IQ and the utilization of Operation Z. That is the first power option. The second power option is the filling of the Spirit resulting in understanding of the Bible as it is communicated by your pastor. Resulting in the Holy Spirit teaching you. So the first involves human IQ plus the filling of the Spirit equals spiritual IQ. Then the Holy Spirit, under the second option, power, empowers you to understand it because He becomes the inward teacher. See, and that's where a lot of it fails. Let me see if I can draw that for you and if you can get some inference by it. This is the mouth. This is the ear. All right, this person has lobes, not free lobes. All right? The mouth is communicating to the ear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We assume that the communicator is filled with the Spirit. It has to be taken from here, however, and further communicated, and from within, the filling of the Spirit resident within the believer hearer then hears it the way the Spirit intends for it to be heard. Now, let's change the scenario for just a bit. Filling of the Spirit on the part of the communicator. This person is out of fellowship, and the sin nature tries to interpret spiritual phenomena. Conclusion, it's foolishness. It doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. He's wrong. See? And yet sometimes these people will claim to be filled with the Spirit. Obviously they are not, because the Spirit of God cannot communicate spiritual things to the omniscient and omnipresent Holy Spirit that indwells the hearer and then deny it. He cannot deny His Word. So you see, there's an affinity with the Spirit of God's filling the pastor and the recipient of that which is heard being filled. Years ago, I used to put it this way, and I didn't quite get as much out of it as I now know, but it was partially correct. And I used to say the words from the communicator go out about this far, and then you take them the rest of the way. And sometimes I can just see wonderful thoughts and ideas just floating over people's heads. They're not getting them at all. Other times, you can actually see somebody drawing it right in. Well, it's more than just simply positive volition and a desire to learn. It's the Holy Spirit teaching the human spirit through the filling of the Spirit as the second power option. So the first is the filling of the Spirit, turning your human IQ into spiritual IQ. Which means automatically that regardless of what you lack in human IQ is immaterial, excuse the pun, because the issue is what is the IQ of the Holy Spirit? And how much can He get across to you? How effective is He as a teacher? See, that's the idea. And so that converts human IQ to spiritual IQ. I might add, by the way, I've seen in times past, those that had very high IQs had difficulty in learning doctrine because they were trying to learn it rationally instead of by faith. Now, for what it's worth, most of you don't have that problem. I'm talking about superior IQs, well above 200. They have difficulty. A lot of them have difficulty learning it because they're dependent upon their human ability. Well, human IQ is not a factor in learning doctrine. Human IQ is put aside and converted to spiritual IQ through the filling of the Spirit. So if you happen to be a little slow, so what? God takes your 90 to 95 IQ and converts it to spiritual IQ, and you've got it all over anyone who has an IQ of 1,000. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's IQ is immeasurable. Now, he's not going to communicate to you in his IQ. He's going to communicate to you consistent with your IQ. You see how it works? So that it can be understandable to you. That's how he ministers to us. That's why a person with a low IQ can learn just as readily as a person with a high IQ. And I despise that term that people are always trying to get me to condescend to, and that is, well, I wasn't much of a student when I was in school. It's not a question of being a good student or a bad student. It's a question of whether or not you want to be filled with the Spirit and let him do it. And he'll do a wonderful job about it or with it. For some reason, my lips are not working with my mind tonight. Amiable. There it is. Maybe I've been around the kids too long. Tinkle. That's thank you, by the way. Peace, peace, peace. That's please. I'm glad to hear both of them, because at first it was gimme, 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 I want, I want, I want, I demand, I demand. I just looked at her and said, what? Now I just look at her and she says, please. That's good. You have to teach children manners. Otherwise, they grow up like animals. Just thought I'd mention that. This results then, the second power option, results in the Holy Spirit teaching doctrine. And that was exactly what our Lord prophesied in John chapter 14, verse 26, and chapter 16, verses 12 through 14. When he, the Holy Spirit, will come, he will teach you all things whatsoever I have told you. Another place, and he will recall to your remembrance those things which you have learned. In other words, the principle is that the Holy Spirit's job is to be the ultimate communicator. So it's not really how effective I am, it's how clear I can make it, and then how he takes what I say and converts it to your understanding. And he does a beautiful job of it if you're filled with the Spirit. If you're not, you may just hear, as those who were accompanying Paul on the road, all they heard when God spoke to Paul was thunder. He heard words. It was just like when we were in Greece, they say that they really have a problem with the English language, because to them it just sounds like mumbling. They cannot distinguish any of the words. So who can understand them? Yeah. Well, they're critical. One of my cousins was telling my wife that the only reason that I could articulate with them as readily as I could was simply because of the fact that they slowed down for me. Well, good. The further north you go, the slower they speak. And by the time you get to Thessalonica, almost the extreme north in the Macedonian area, they are very easy to understand. The Athenians mumble. They sound like a bunch of New Yorkers speaking Greek, is what it sounds like. The same accented, and of course they made fun of my accent. Well, I'm a mountain man. I came from Macedonia. And we talk very slow, don't you know? And we eat chocolates. With almonds in them. Everything has almonds in them. You had ice cream on Sunday with almonds. Those are from Greece, by the way. I chop them myself with my little law machine. Actually, it's a big law machine. Point C, faith perception begins at the point of hearing. And at the point of hearing, you're either positive or negative. That determines whether or not you are filled with the Spirit. That simply says, you have a choice, either to listen or not to listen. And I can always tell those who are not listening, because while I'm talking, they're talking. You can't hardly listen and talk at the same time. Or they're distracted by something else. Or they're thinking something else. Or worse than that, and this to me is tantamount to the abomination of desolation, and that is falling asleep in class. God the Holy Spirit teaches positive volition under the filling of the Spirit. In other words, all you've got to do is send up that positive signal. All right, so now what do we have? We have the filling of the Spirit from the communicator. All that's got to be sent here is a positive signal to receive that which is being taught. Positiveness comes from the filling of the Spirit. It is inconceivable for a believer to say, I'm positive toward doctrine and be out of fellowship. It is equally inconceivable with me for anyone to want to come to Bible class on a regular basis and not be saved. This would be the last place I'd want to be, especially tonight. But so far, I seem to be enjoying myself, and so I'm going to continue. I was going to quit a little early, but as I go on, why, I get added strength. I'll probably die afterwards, but I'll be through with this. I know what happened. The bug got in there and is dying, and that's why I feel the way I do. Subpoint one, the Holy Spirit teaches the human spirit, making doctrine understandable. Then the Holy Spirit sends that information to the left lobe, where it is understood academically. See, the left lobe is your perceptive lobe. The human spirit is taught by the Holy Spirit. Here's your human spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches your human spirit. See, and it's only in your human spirit that you can understand spiritual phenomena. And that's the thing we didn't have before we became believers. That's what is meant by you are dead spiritually. You only have two operating parts as a non-believer, a body and a soul. No human spirit. You have the spirit of humanity, that's something else. That's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 2. That's not the human spirit. The human spirit is created at the moment of salvation in each believer. That is the new thing that you now have that you didn't have before. In the human spirit, by the way, is where the edification complex is built. This is where you store tons and tons and tons of experiential doctrine. Continuing on the positive side, the Holy Spirit then sends that information to the left lobe. The left lobe is the perceptive lobe. First, it has been understood by the human spirit. Now it's being understood by your mind. See? Then the Holy Spirit transfers it to the right lobe. This is all based on positive volition. By the way, remember, at any point, you can shut down, and as soon as you do, the process ceases. When it gets into your right lobe, now it can be experienced. And that's the difference between gnosis and epinosis. One is translated knowledge, the other is translated knowledge. So if you don't know which one is used, you could fall into some serious error. Occasionally, the writers of the New Testament, the interpreters rather, use the word full knowledge for epinosis. It's obvious, isn't it, that there's a difference between that and this. You can see a preposition in there. And the preposition intensifies the use of the noun. Whenever Greeks wanted to intensify something, they just threw another preposition in front of it. The book of Ephesians that actually has three prepositions in front of it. That's intense. And it is translated exceedingly abundantly. Okay? That's the best they could do with it. But in the Greek language, it would be and yet that doesn't really make much sense either. That's a guttural for wow. Epi is the intensive form of gnosis. So here you have knowledge, simple. Knowledge, experiential. Knowledge, reasoned. Knowledge, experienced. What's the best teacher? Doctrine, not experience. Why? Because if you have an experience and you have no knowledge behind it, how do you relate to it? You can't. Knowledge must precede experience. Gnosis must precede epinosis. Now, as you breathe that out, it then goes through your human spirit, building the necessary floors of your edification complex, and is then sent to the defenses of your soul here. That is your flot line or your defense line. And the faith rest drill sits back here and reinforces the other nine problem-solving devices. Because you will find that every principle of doctrine relates to one of the 10 problem-solving devices. That's the beauty of it. I don't care what the doctrine is, it's going to relate to one of the 10 problem-solving devices. And they are all intricate. They're all together. They are an integral part of each other. I better take up practical preaching again. Point two, integral. Now don't put that down. That was the word I was looking for. Now the believer must exercise positive volition toward the doctrine which has been taught. If you believe the doctrine which has been taught, then it is grace metabolization. Once you believe the doctrine, it is transferred by the Holy Spirit into your right lobe. So where's the crucial point? The crucial point is right here, right there. And unfortunately, get this, with most believers, that's as far as it ever goes. See, the human spirit is going to accept it. Because the human spirit is made by God, created by God at the moment of salvation. That only accepts spiritual data. Okay? And correct spiritual data. But then it has to be transferred to your consciousness. Right now, you don't see information going into your human spirit. Matter of fact, If I asked you this question, could you answer it? Where is your human spirit? It's immaterial. If you cut a believer open and a non-believer open, you're not going to see a little box in there with the word HS written on it. The point is, it's an immaterial part of you, but it is something that you are thoroughly aware of because it was created at the moment of salvation. That's what the new creature is all about. You have now become a trichotomy, body, soul, and human spirit. Unbelievers don't have a human spirit. Now, so that it becomes reasonable to you, the Holy Spirit teaches your left lobe. Well, now you say, but I don't believe that. That's as far as it goes. It cannot go any further. And you see, well, how is all this transferred? By faith. See, I suppose some of you, there must be one idiot here tonight that wants to see that process going on, like the watches they have that you can see all the workings at the same, you know. Who was it that made one with all the workings shown? You remember years ago? Expensive watch. No, it was foreign. It had the battery, and you could see all the little resistors and diodes, and it was a quartz mechanism, and it had no face on it, it just had the hands, of course, but it ran over an open face. Some people like that. Years ago, I gave the school, I don't know if they still have it or not, but I gave them a model of a V8 engine, and it was a see-through thing. You could see all the push rods and the rocker arms and the, you know, valve covers and so on, connecting rods and so on. And so the school will still have that, Rich? Where'd it go? Bob threw it out, I bet. It only took me 24 hours to build that thing. And as you turn the crank, you could see the pistons going up and down, all inside. Well, you can't see that in your car. When you lift up a hood, you don't see the pistons. You don't see the spark wires, the spark plugs sparking. You don't see the valves opening and closing. You know if they're not, because there's some devastating effects. If it's an intake valve, you'll hear popping through the carburetor when you go to start it. If it's an exhaust valve, you'll hear puff, puff, puff out the back. It's an 8-cylinder, it's only running on 7, that's a clue. See? And where that cylinder is supposed to be firing, if it goes puff, 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 what that puff is no fire. See? Now they have 4 valves for each cylinder. I know, that just thrills you to death. The guys are looking at me like with some interest. Some of you aren't, because you're like Bob. You have the mechanical aptitude of a wart. He'd be the first one to admit it, so I'm not talking out of family here. Here's the most crucial point. You see, if it doesn't get passed here, you're finished in the Christian life, because this causes spiritual growth, not this. And I know tons of tapers that are right here. Right here. They are so fat-headed with all the knowledge they have, but it's all gnosis. And what's one of the problems of being able to experience it? Where are you going to experience it? Where is God's ideal proving ground for gnosis to epinosis? Does anyone happen to know? It's called the LC, the local church. That's the only thing I know of that he approves of. I don't read of anything else. The local church. And what a marvelous place. And we see it here, as I told you, over 90% participation on the part of the congregation's involvement with the various functions of this local assembly. Some 50% of the time, the buildings are open and are being utilized instead of 0.1% with the average church. What, 2 hours on Sunday morning and that's it? And lock it up until Sunday again? Well, no wonder they have these ornate buildings. They never get in there and dirty it up. They don't wear anything out. Very crucial, very important. Spiritual IQ to this point, human spirit taught by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit transfers it to your understanding. See, this process here is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then from here to here, he transfers it as long as you're continuing to send out those positive signals. Yes, I believe it. Yes, I accept it. Because now it's understood in your stream of consciousness. You understand it. Your mentality has picked it up. Mentality now has a decision to make. Do I accept it or reject it? If you accept it, he puts it into your right lobe, epinosis time, and it sends forth the necessary missiles to ward off whatever it is that you are being attacked by. Whether it be prosperity or adversity. Got 2-3 minutes left. I'm going to quit. That's what I did last night, though. That's okay. I'm glad I got as far as I got. Let's pray. You're dismissed. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Thank you for your grace, your goodness, your mercy. The time we spent in your word this evening. How enriched we've been because of being enlightened by the principles of your truth. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.